Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text 53 is the last verse of Chapter 7 and the last verse of this whole section. Yesterday evening we discussed just an overview of this section and how it fits in with the second canto. The second canto title is The Cosmic Manifestation. Cosmic manifestation means the Purusha avatars, forms of the Lord, who are expanded from the personality of Godhead in the spiritual realm for the purpose of bringing about the material creation. Now, a couple of important things. We shouldn't think, it would be wrong to think that once upon a time there was no Purusha avatar. And in the spiritual world, Krishna looked at his wristwatch and said, gee, it's getting about that time, and then he manifested the Purusha avatars. They're eternal. Their function is in relation to the Lord's external energy. Specifically, their function is to bring the ingredients, the elements, the energies of the Lord into a from an unmanifest to a manifest state, maintain for some time and withdraw. All for the purpose of the same thing that the Lord does with anybody. He reciprocates with the desires, the regard that the living entities had for him. Going to hear in this concluding verse that one should not think, oh, this is just the Purusha avatars, let's go to Krishna's pastimes. And especially Krishna's very confidential pastimes, let's go to those pastimes. Who wants to hear about this material creation and the Lord playing with his energies in material creation? It's all the external energy anyways. Let's go to the internal energy. But by discussing one needs to have the right conception of the Purusha avatars before approaching the Lord as he's engaging with his internal potencies. Because otherwise one will think of those activities with his internal potencies as being something like us. And so if it's something like us, then they're just imaginative, or although we can't lift Gobar downhill, we can dance with women in the dead of night, and so let's do that. It's just, so wrong conceptions will flow from a misconception of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the point that's being made in the purport here is one should, the verse as well, to overcome the binding influence of the illusory energy, one should hear and clearly understand about the Lord in his Purusha avatar form. Here's the verse. The Lord's activities in association with his different energies should be described. This is Brahma speaking to Narada, and he's instructing Narada, now that I've taught you, you should teach others. I've taught you about the question you have asked, who is the ultimate source of everything, and it's the personality of Godhead, not me. And he brings the creation into being by the agency of his various energies. I've explained it to you in essence. Now, when you teach others, you expand it further. the Lord's activities in association with his different energies should be described, appreciated, and heard in accordance with the teachings of the Supreme Lord. That's, Brahma heard them from the Supreme Lord. And now I've explained them to you. So you explain them in relation to what the Supreme Lord said. Expand upon it. Describe, appreciate, create situations where persons can hear. If this is done regularly with devotees, with devotion and respect, one is sure to get out of the illusory energy of the Lord. That's nice reassurance. So the pathway to liberation is presented, and that's what the purpose of the Bhagavatam is, to reach that state where Purnarjana Manavijjate, and to have no more birth and death, one needs to fix consciousness upon the Supreme. And to fix consciousness upon the Supreme, in a preliminary stage, we need to understand the Supreme in relation to his material energies. Why is discussed in the purport. Before going into the purport, I'll just emphasize in different language points I already made. The second canto, as far as Padma Puran describes, the first and second canto are the lotus feet of the Lord in his literary incarnation, the Srimad Bhagavatam being the literary incarnation of Krishna. So first and second canto are the lotus feet. To approach the lotus feet means that one comes to a humble service mood. Otherwise you can't approach feet. You want something else. But in a humble service mood, one approaches the lotus feet of the Lord, and that means, in practical terms, the subject matter of the Lord's energies of creation, acting through Brahma, but it's his energies, will not be understood unless one is in a humble mood of service. But conversely, when one is in a humble mood of service, then it's very purifying and very elevating and very clear. I've had many people say, I've read the second canto so many times and I have a hard time understanding it. I have a hard time paying attention to it. There's all these technical things. But the technology is not the essence. The essence is disclosing the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. But we're mystified by his energies, and so how those energies connect to him is explained. So behind the energies is the Lord. And this gives us, second canto gives us access to the Lord, the Lord's lotus feet, by proper humble mood of hearing and carrying out our services accordingly with proper understanding. Prabhupada gave this example. When we go for morning walks sometimes in Los Angeles, we see many very expensive cars. So if one is a thief, one might think, which one would I like? But if one is honest, one understands, then one might try to be an artificial renouncer, saying, this is not mine, I don't care for this, and I don't care for that, but it's not yours to possess anyways. You can be a renunciate like that, or you can be a thief. But on the other hand, you can, the third position is you recognize who this belongs to. And then you're rightly situated. You're not artificially renouncing or trying to be a thief. Similar to the example of walking along the sidewalk and you find a $100 bill, and what do? make it yours, ignore it because it's not yours, or find out the owner. Of course, you might find there are many people claiming to be the owner. Yes, it's mine, it's mine. Thank you. But the principle is understanding the relationship of energies with their master, their source. When we, I'll give an example from the 10th chapter so that you can understand this illustration. It'll illustrate this point. Here's Prabhupada's purport. So what we're doing here is we're trying to access the Lord's lotus feet through the agency of getting a proper understanding of his energies and how through his energies he makes creation happen. Another example that Prabhupada gave is, doesn't so much happen today, but it used to happen when Prabhupada was giving this example. People on their in their cars, they attach something sometimes to the rear view mirror. You know that in front there's a rear view mirror. Now a very common thing is, I don't know why, but they put a CD. So it, you know, when it moves, it flashes in the sun. Maybe it reminds them of the music they like, or I don't know what. Or sometimes they have, in America, they have what they call air fresheners. It's this little cutout thing, and it gives good smell to the car. And it gives a bad smell to the car. Air freshener. But it was a common thing for some period of time. I saw it. Many, many cars would have attached to the rear view mirror was their child's little baby shoes. Hung on to the, you know, the shoelaces hanging from the rearview mirror. And Prabhupada was saying, when they see those little baby shoes, they don't just see the baby shoes, they see their baby. They see that because of their attachment to their child, I mean, not like literally to see their child hanging from the mirror, but in their mind's eye, it's not just a shoe, it's the person. Although it's just a shoe, it reminds them of the person. And so their heart is moved and inspired just by seeing the shoes. So similarly, if we see the energies of the Supreme in relation to the Supreme, when we see the energies, we'll see the Supreme. If we understand the relationship with the Supreme, like here's this money, oh, or supposing it's not just money, supposing it's a wallet. Like when we went to Vrindavan, one of the persons on the parikrama lost their wallet at Govindakund. And inside was his driver's license and credit cards and, you know, other important pieces of information. So supposing somebody finds that man's wallet. Inside, it says who the man is that owns the wallet, because it has all of his credit cards and driver's license. So you don't, and there's the picture of the man on his driver's license. So you don't see the man, but you know that this belongs to that man. And so the honest thing would be to return it to that man. Certainly if we had lost our wallet, we would appreciate it greatly if someone would go to the trouble of seeing that while it was returned to us. Like that, seeing the energies of the Supreme Lord in relation to him, and because it's very complex how the energies mix with one another, it's very complex. But at least in principle, and in the second canto, There's not a lot of the lists of things of how the energies unfold from the Lord, but there are some, and they're presented in different modalities. And the end result is, if one is hearing properly, one sees beyond the energies and sees the Supreme Lord. At least conceptually we can understand behind all of this is the Supreme Lord. And if heard more carefully, more attentively, more deeply, there's some attachment for the Supreme Lord, how he's making all these arrangements for us. So many complex arrangements for what? Because we have these stupid desires. He's caring for us, helping us with our desires, and ultimately knowing what our real self-interest is, helping us to come to our real self-interest directly and indirectly. So, Prabhupada's purport. The science of learning a subject matter seriously is different from sentiments of fanatics. Fanatics are fools. They consider the Lord's activities in relation with the external energy to be useless for them. And they may falsely claim to be higher participants in the internal energy of the Lord, but factually the Lord's activities in relation with the external energy and the internal energy are equally good. And that's a theme that one who has heard Prabhupada's teachings recognizes it as a standard understanding that he wants us to receive. Equally good. Conversely, on the other hand, those who are not completely free from the clutches of the Lord's illusory energy should devotedly hear regularly about the activities of the Lord in relation with the external energy. Not like a punishment, it's a cure. Because we're implicated in the material energy, not seeing the Lord in the bewildering feature of the external energy. So hear about that external energy in relation to the Lord again and again and again, regularly, devotedly. And then, voila, the Lord appears. And the controlling, the bewildering influence of the external energy subsides. That bewildering influence is for people who are rebellious. Maya, you know, the agents of the government arrest people that are rebellious. And people that are law-abiding, the laws protect them. They're not afraid of the laws, they abide by the laws. And then they're protected by the agents of the law. They feel safe as soon as they see a police officer. And a criminal, as soon as he sees a police officer, he's in anxiety. Will he catch me? In the case of the external energy, there's no if. It's infallible. One is caught just by a rebellious attitude. Those who are not free from the clutches of the external energy should not foolishly jump to the activities of the internal energy. Falsely attracted by the Lord's internal potential activities like his rasa-lila. That's the listeners, and the speakers also should not be pretentious, and although unable to control themselves, they want to go to the rasa-lila. But even those that can control themselves, Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they never publicly, in the large gatherings, discuss the Lord's internal activities, his internal potencies. Certainly not Rasa-lila. Now, Kirtan discussed various other topics, and in the right setting, with qualified people, he would discuss. What to speak of people that are not qualified? They should not hear, and they should not try to discuss. Then he repeats in the second paragraph, some people say, this is the real thing, we're interested in Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill, and that's nice, but the other's also nice. But they say these are two different persons. There's Krishna who's enjoying in Vrindavan, and then there's the Purusha avatar. but we're not interested in Purusha Avatar, they say. The pastimes of creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material worlds. But a pure devotee knows that there is no difference between the pastimes of the Lord, either in Rasa Lila or creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world. Rather, the descriptions of such activities of the Lord as the Purusha avatars are specifically meant for persons who are in the clutches of the external energy. Anyone want to raise their hand and volunteer that they're a liberated soul and no influence at all of the external energy? I don't see any hands. So that's not a shameful statement. It's just, it's an honest statement of we need a lot of purification. It's a humble statement, a true statement. And so this subject matter is important. Prabhupada is clearly saying, and Vyasadeva wrote it that way. Final paragraph. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the science of God, the first nine cantos prepare the ground for hearing the tenth canto. This will be further explained in the last chapter of this canto, and the third canto, even more explicitly, this will be explained. Therefore, a pure devotee of the Lord must begin reading Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning. Not from the tenth canto. Prabhupada says, I've been asked by many people, Swamiji, make a translation of the tenth canto. Who knows? You may not live to complete. Go to the tenth canto. And Prabhupada said, no. Actually, what he did was he made his summary study of the tenth canto in the form of Krishna book. And because his reasoning was, if I don't get to finish, then unscrupulous people will, who knows what they'll do with the tenth canto. And so he made a rendering of the tenth canto that we distributed liberally to public all over the place. Hundreds of thousands of copies of Krishna book. Now, so it sounds like Prabhupada's contradicting himself. Give everybody Krishna book, which is 10th canto. I remember distributing thousands and thousands, thousands and thousands. I was just sharing this with one devotee in Los Angeles. One Christmas marathon, we had all these Krishna trilogies. We had a huge shipment of them. So what we did was, we took them out to 34th Street near Macy's. And made a big pyramid right on the sidewalk. Huge pile. And people saw this big thing. So, you know, it attracted attention. So we would give them a Krishna trilogy and say, just, you know, give a donation. It's Christmas time. Merry Christmas. And, you know, we sold the whole pile. It was just, it was phenomenal. And then this devotee in Los Angeles said recently, during the summer, they were traveling from the L.A. temple because the L.A. airport was closed down. So they were going to large concert events, folk concert, and different concert events all around the country. They went to one in Atlanta. And everybody they met, he said, he repeated it, everybody they met, without exception, when they met the devotees, so those who had previously received Krishna book said, oh, I read that book and it was just wonderful. And they wanted to, so the devotees wanted to know, which, what book was that? Was it one of these? No. Was it one of these? No. It started with a K, because they can't pronounce Krishna. It was wonderful. And everybody that said that bought another book. So, and a devotee named Nirguna, who recently, just like 2 weeks ago, left his body in Vrindavan from cancer, was responsible for the distribution of those books. They went to the National Park in Tennessee, Smoky Mountain National Park, and rented a cabin for the summer, and in shifts they would cover the big spots at Smoky Mountain National Park. They had park permits from the park department, and Krishna book was their book. And that helped a lot of people build real appreciation for Krishna. Enough that they want to buy another book. Just from reading a book. These are, these aren't California people. These are up in the hills, kind of southern people that never heard of Krishna before. Very different genre of people. They really like Krishna book. So, it's possible to present the 10th canto in a manner that can be appreciated by even worldly people. But what Prabhupada is speaking about is those that don't care for hearing about the Lord's external potencies, and they want to, in an unqualified manner, jump to that subject matter which is beyond their capacity to understand. It's not an intellectual capacity, it's a purity capacity. Can't understand what they want. By reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as a scientific presentation, the conditioned souls will gradually be promoted to the higher status of transcendental knowledge after being freed from the illusory energy based on sense enjoyment. So, this text 53 of chapter 7 is very important. It's the concluding verse of the section, but it's also explaining something that's thematic for the whole canto, and that is, and for a big part of transcendental knowledge, is understanding the relationship between the Lord and his external energies as a medium for helping us prepare to appreciate the Lord with his internal potencies. Because again, behind the whether internal or external, behind is the potent. And one will not understand the internal potencies properly if one is still under the whammy of the external potencies. It's not going to happen. It's not possible. It's not how one advances in spiritual life. So it's progression.